Third hour, Darren, Donica, Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on a beautiful Thursday afternoon here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe is off this week with us. He'll actually be on the afternoon show with former Titans GM Floyd Reese. So it'll be Chase and the GM coming up at 2 o'clock today. Always enjoy when we bring Tim Kirchen into the fold and talk a little Major League Baseball with him. We'll find out as we bring him in if he has toweled off from this long back and forth, Tim, and do we finally have resolution? We can talk about a Major League Baseball season. Are you as tired as we are?
I'm way more tired than you, believe me. You got other things to talk about.
That's all true.
I've talked about for 3 months. We're going to play baseball this year if, you know, the health concerns allow. We got to get through this whole COVID thing, and we're in some trouble right now, as is everyone else trying to do anything else. Baseball has to figure out, you know, what are we going to do about Florida? They had to close those camps because of an outbreak. What are we going to do about Toronto, where it's, you know, you got to wait 2 weeks to even get in there and be quarantined and everything else? It's just not as simple as, yes, we finally figured out the financial part, even though we didn't really. It was no agreement was reached. It was just implemented. But this thought that everything will be easy from here, I'm not buying it. I am buying that we're going to play this year. They're going to figure this out. But there are still a lot of roadblocks to go.
No doubt about it. And, you know, the NBA is going to have their bubble in Orlando, yet there's still concerns. The NHL still yet to announce their two hub cities, which they'll have their two locations, which will be basically NHL's version of a bubble. And you're right, Tim. There is no bubble for Major League Baseball. And so how do you think they will go about trying to handle not being in control of, you know, these other leagues will control the environment, and it's still, there's risk. We know that. But it's going to be a little bit different dynamic on the Major League Baseball side. How do you think they're going to handle that part of it?
Well, they're going to handle it very carefully. And if a local municipality, if a ballpark, if a state, if a city says, no, you're not coming here, then they're going to have to go to plan B. Now, the goal is to play in all the home parks if possible, but if possible is no guarantee. So we just have to see what ballparks are available. Is it safe to play there? And then the question I still am not sure about, what if with 3 weeks before the season begins, we find out, I'm just making this up, we can't play in the state of Pennsylvania, or we can't play in the state of Ohio. What happens then? Where do we play instead? Do you play all the games on the road? How does that going to work? And again, maybe we won't have to worry about this, but I think we should be worrying about any scenario, all scenarios moving forward.
Yeah. You've been covering this for a long time. You know, we've talked to you over the years, but you've been around the game and covering it for a long time. You've seen a lot of ups and downs with the sport. Where does this one rank? Because you laid it out perfectly. They didn't really come to agreement. It was basically, okay, well, you can't come to agreement, so we're just going to implement. This is what you're going to do. Where does this rank on kind of some, I guess, downs for the sport? We know about 94 and everything else, but where does this rank for you?
Well, this isn't as bad as 94 because they canceled the World Series. However, given everything that's going on in the country, all the troubles that we have, which are so much greater right now than baseball, for baseball in the middle of a pandemic with this many Americans out of work and with protesters in the street, they couldn't come to an agreement. That was deeply disappointing to a lot of people, and it should have been. Now, baseball deserves a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that this is unprecedented territory. None of this was easy. There are no easy answers. But those proposals that were made that were ended up being rejected, maybe they should have come a month and a half earlier. Maybe Rob Manfred, the commissioner, should have gone to see Tony Clark 2 months earlier for a sit down. Maybe they should have just realized that this is not a collective bargaining agreement. This is crisis management. This is doing whatever it takes to get the game back on the field as soon as possible for the health of the game and the morale of the country. It should not have been about settling scores or setting up great bargaining position for 2 years from now. It should have been about right now. What's the best thing and what's the right thing to do? And baseball missed on that one pretty badly. But we're gonna leave that behind. We're in a labor war, and it's going to continue. But at least we have baseball, health permitting, coming up, and that's great news.
We're talking to Tim Kirkjian from ESPN. We're so glad to have him on the show again. And Tim, let's play the game of health permitting. We'll knock on wood, do all of that stuff. With each game counting about what a, you know, maybe 2.5 times or more what a regular game would in a 162 game season, how do you think it will affect how teams manage a particular game?
Well, there's a greater urgency with every game now, which maybe in the end is a good thing. I personally, naturally, obviously would rather play 162. It's a much better barometer. But I think the teams, for instance, like the A's, who are so good, but they get off to so many slow starts in recent years, I think you have to look around and go, all right, that's unacceptable, because if you lose 7 in a row, you know, to start this year, you're going to be in some trouble in a 60-game season. I think some of our hitters who start slowly historically are going to have to say, well, I don't know why, but I'm going to have to do everything I can now to make sure I get off to a better start, not just for my team, but I'm not going to recover if I only have 60 games in which to recover. And I think all of this, you know, kind of benefits a mild contender, even a non-contender, just because in baseball, you can get really hot for 20, 30, 40, 50 games, even if you're not a really good team. It's when you get worn down over 162 that the really good teams just are so relentless with their talent and their depth and their resources. But, you know, a really substandard team, you know, under 500 team, it can be pretty good for 50 games. Only in baseball can you say that.
Yeah, so it's really intriguing on what the strategy might be for maybe riding a closer a little bit more, maybe using a young player a little bit more. What about your starting catcher, Tim? I'm thinking about that. You know, most of the time now you're not going to have a catcher that catches more than maybe 130 games. Would you try to push it a little bit more nowadays?
Well, that's certainly a possibility, and maybe throw your best starting pitcher more often, knowing he doesn't have to be as good at the, I mean, as durable at the end, because he's only going to make 10 starts or 11 instead of 31. So, but the thing also to keep in mind, though, is you got to keep your players healthy. And if you overwork a catcher and get him hurt, or if you take a starting pitcher and start working him on under 5 days rest, which he's not used to, and somebody gets hurt for a long period of time, the union is going to tell everyone, look, the health of our players is very important here, not just with COVID, but with the amount of the workload that they get. So all of our managers now have a different dynamic, something that they really need to keep in mind here moving forward. It should be really interesting to see, but I just can't imagine them saying, all right, you're the best player. You're going to play every inning of every game. You're never getting a rest because we only play 60 games. I'm not sure it's going to work all that like that all the time.
Tim, you appreciate the stats and the history. I think it's been tossed around by many, and I've thought about it myself. What if somebody hit 400? Or what if somebody like a Jacob deGrom reeled off 12 or 15 starts, whatever the number is, and he's got a 1 ERA. I wonder how much that will, you know, how we'll look at that down the road, looking back on that season, if something magical like that were to happen, even in a 60-game season.
Yeah, well, you'll get a huge tip of the cap from me. That's sure. If you hit 400 over 60 games. But several guys have done that in the last 20 years, so... But I'm sorry, I'm just not going to recognize someone hitting 460 games and make him the last person to hit 400 when clearly that was Ted Williams. And if somebody finishes miraculously under Bob Gibson's 1.12 ERA in 1968, the lowest since 1920, I'm not buying that either. I'm going to tip my cap again. But at the same time, I just think that you can't use individual awards for the records. You have to use the team and say whoever wins in the end deserves to be the champion and should be a crown the champion. But I just don't feel the same way about individual awards because 60 games is not 162.
Tim, last thing. We had Adam Nuss on in the first hour. He's the general manager of the Nashville Sounds, and I'm sure you've heard that they're planning on hosting a 40-game season with just basically unsigned players out there. They're going to form two teams and play against each other for a 40-game season, and they're working with Major League Baseball on that, and they're going to play at First Horizon Park. But I asked him about, you know, they've had the runner at second for extra innings, and what they thought about it. They've watched that play out, and now Major League Baseball is going to do that. And he told us that a lot of his staffers were completely against this when it was first implemented on the AAA level. And by season's end, they absolutely loved it. How do you think it's going to be received? And how do you receive how they're going to handle extra innings in this return to play?
Well, I'm against it. But this year, under these extraordinary circumstances where the game has changed, the world has changed, everything has changed, I'm all for it for now. My concern is people are going to like it so much that they're going to think it's a great idea to use it next year and every other year. And sorry, maybe I'm just too old. I'm 63, but I'm not buying putting a runner at second. I don't like tie games. I think extra innings are kind of cool. With these expanded rosters that may extend into future years, I think we can find a way to play a 15-inning game. It doesn't happen that often. But I would not be surprised, much to my chagrin, if it works in a shortened season like this, that baseball will say, this is a great idea, we're going to keep this. And again, I think that would be a mistake because that's just not the game that I grew up watching and loving.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's good to talk to you as always. I'm glad things are going in the right direction for baseball. We need to get you back on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt and get you laughing again and so we all can have a good time about sports. Thanks for doing this as always.
Okay, fellas. Stay safe. See ya.
All right. You too. That is Tim Kirchen. Does a great job covering Major League Baseball for ESPN and is well known for his laugh. Scott Van Pelt it always cracks me up when he tries to get Tim laughing on that SportsCenter. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, that should put a smile on your face.
I work out.
I'm
to
thinking
this song,
of the Falcons. I'm thinking of the Falcons of the year.
Oh,
early
'90s,
Jerry Glanville and Deion Sanders and those guys. Remember, they used to play this all the time.
No doubt. Well, there was the 30 for 30, that was in there, right? On Deion Sanders.
Sure it was. Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I remember that. Yeah, being in there. Oh, brings back good memories. Appreciate Tim Kirchen for joining us to start this hour. Elliot Freeman will start the next hour. Weekly chat with him coming up at 1 o'clock. Boy, do we have a lot of things to get into with Elliot. We had Danny Butler on the show yesterday, the Fordyce Centers. He runs the Fordyce Centers. Bellevue and Antioch, they are back open. And that was great news. Wanted to pass that along. And there's teams on that. By the way, I saw Chris Harris, who we had on yesterday as well from WSMV, tweet out. We had Adam Nuss on in the first hour, the general manager and COO of the Sounds. There's players actually on the field right now at First Horizon Park, so that was cool. There's a Hall of Fame class that came out. NFL has canceled their Hall of Fame enshrinement that was supposed to be at the beginning of August. No Cowboys-Steelers game in Canton, Ohio this year, and no enshrinement for this year. It'll all be pushed to next year. Same matchup in 2021, and you'll have two classes. So you'll have the 2020 class and the 21 class going into Canton next year. Not going to happen this year, but the NHL did have their list come out, and how are they going to handle that? Have they said, Willie, I have not seen?
That's another good question for Elliot coming up at 1 o'clock. I don't know. You know, it usually doesn't take place until the fall anywhere anyway. In fact, there was one year we were in Toronto playing the Maple Leafs the day after the ceremony. So some people actually went to the ceremony that night. I can remember David Poile and those guys going. I think Brent Peterson went. It was the year that Peter Forsberg was elected in there, who I think at the time was the first Predator or first player that ever played for the Predators to make it to the Hall of Fame. Of course, Peter Forsberg played, you know, just part of one season. But still, that was pretty cool. So I don't know if they've made the decision on that yet. I mean, I don't know if by then you could have, you know, the venue be like it normally is. So I'm sure there's plenty of other things for them to figure out before it gets to that. But we'll ask Elliot.
We indeed will. We were having fun talking about the two teams. We brought that up with Tim and with Adam about the two teams that will be playing at First Horizon Park. And Adam told us that one of them will be the Sounds, and the other one, there's no name. So
TBA.
Like, we need to help him name it. The first thing that came to mind, I was like, you know, what about the Generals? I mean, you know, we'll just have the Sounds will be the Globetrotters, and their opponent, because they face each other every game. So that's
right.
What the Globetrotters and the Generals do. They always play against each other. So I thought, you know, that would be fun. Maybe they're the Generals. That's just something that first came to mind. Did anything come to mind for you?
Well, we had a tweet about this. Remember, there was the one summer where they had a double-A team and a triple-A team. The Sounds were playing as a triple-A, and they had added a team called the Nashville Express that were the Twins double-A. This was back in the summer of 93 or 94. 94, because it was the year that Michael Jordan was playing for Birmingham. And so he actually played some games at Greer Stadium against the Express. So if you want to go to that. And, of course, for a long time at Solfridell, which is where the stadium is in Germantown now, it's very close to the original site of the old Solfridell, was the Nashville Vols. So I guess that's an option as well. But there's any number of things you could do, right? You could come up with something completely different just for fun.
Well, does anything come to mind
News Bears
for you?
The Bad News Bears?
The Bad News Bears? Okay.
Like, what are some other fun just baseball teams from fictitious movies or teams like that? I'm just trying to think out loud. But would you want to have something with Nashville ties? Like, when you say the Generals, that would imply that you're going to stack the Sounds, and you want the Sounds to go like 40-0. How many are people going to pay to watch that? I guess if they're root for the home team, I'd be sad to be on the Generals.
Well, right. It does. You would not want to be on the Generals, because that almost would tell you, hey, they're going to make sure you lose every day. In fact, you even said, does that mean the Sounds team is going to get stacked with the best players? That would not be the premise of me having the Sounds versus the Generals, where one team always wins. It was just, you know, that's what the first thing I thought of was, well, okay, two teams that always play against each other, Globetrotters and the Generals. So make it the Sounds and the Generals. I'm trying to think of,
like, there was the Knights, the New York Knights from The Natural. That was the team. Right, with Robert Redford playing.
Right, the Knights.
Roy Hobbs.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of other teams. Like, I'd love for people to tweet or call in, so if you have a fun idea of what, you know, what colors should they be. Like, the Sounds change their colors a little bit, right? They have new uniforms they just started wearing last year. So they'll have the uniforms. So do you go, like, old-school Sounds uniforms, which are a different color, the red, white, and blue, and go with those? I don't know. They would look different enough.
Would you, when you say the Bad News Bears, you want them just to be the Bears on the front? you know.
Yeah, and of course you got to have Chico's bail bonds
right,
on the back,
on the
sponsor.
Back, yeah, that could be fun. Actually, that could be a lot of fun.
Can you imagine if you ordered perfect replicas of those uniforms, same colors and everything? How cool that would look! You'd get a lot of attention. You'd get a lot of run. If it was something out of a movie, and you replicated that, that would get you a lot of attention, which is what you're looking for.
I'm a fan of this actor. I think he's really good. I've always enjoyed his work, Tom Selleck. Do you remember Mr. Baseball? They could be the Dragons.
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Wasn't that who they were, the Dragons, and they had the D on their hat? Like the cursive D? Yeah, they could be the Dragons.
Yeah, because he's always a big Detroit Tigers fan. I'm sure that's why they worked that in there. There's a lot of baseball movies that have, like, the real uniforms, right? So it's not – you can't have a Major League Baseball uniform, right, if you wanted to have Billy Chappell out there pitching. You can't have the Tigers, right? I'm just trying to think of some other baseball movies that don't have Major League Baseball names uniforms. That's why I thought of the Bears. Like Major League, it's the Indians, so you can't have the Indians uniforms.
There was one about
you could do
the
Black the
Twins
Sox
too, right? So you can't use that. So I'm trying to think.
Yeah, Little Big League.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we got to go with the Bears. I would go with the Bears replicas right down to the last detail. That would be cool. That would get you more attention than anything else you could come up with.
That would be fun. Or it's either do that and make it a lot of fun or do something Nashville related, right? It's got to be something that everybody
here can. The Express
or
the Vols or something
yeah,
like
do
that.
Something,
have some old school uniforms.
A little throwback, yeah. Where people could get, you know, do a little history.
The hot chickens. There you go. The hot chickens.
Oh, gosh. You want to turn it into a sponsorship?
Yes.
Do it to a sponsorship opportunity?
If you can make a buck off of it, then I guess it's not the worst idea.
Well, what I did take from that interview, it sounds like the Sounds are on the hook for this, right? This is coming
out
of their pocket.
Yeah,
remember I asked yesterday, I'm like, are the Rangers helping out with this? Doesn't sound like it.
No, they're not, and that's why they've got to be able to sell tickets, and that's why we've got to somehow get to phase four to be able to pull it off, so they can sell tickets and people can actually go to the games if they want to.
Yeah, so that could be something they could have a lot of fun with. One thing that I certainly took from the interview is they're thinking outside the box, which is good. That's a good thing that they're thinking outside the box, and they've been doing that this whole time, right? Because if you listen to the interview, they were basically getting in a room or on Zoom or what, I guess probably getting on Zoom and saying, okay, what can we do? What if there isn't a season? What do we do? And they said, I guess they were talking about something about with concerts. They just kind of obviously just threw things out there and put things out there around the room and seeing if anything would stick, and lo and behold, they came to this, and it's obviously an idea that worked. And now you know if you want to get things out there, get things going, just get it to Jason Stark. You know, he'll put it out there, and that'll really get things moving. Because
apparently
we learned this wasn't supposed to be out there till Monday.
I wonder who was the most interesting name that called and let the Sounds know, hey, I'd be interested? Who do you think it was? Think Yasiel Puig had somebody call?
He made it very clear.
He said there were former big league managers.
Yes. Managers and players, right. So there was, gathered it as, there was some pretty good star power out there that they have an opportunity, or at least they're talking to, of possibly being a part of this. I guess if you have a name or star power, you know, it's going to probably the toughest thing we know is going to be trying to convince them to come do this for a small amount of money, right?
Oh, yeah. Do you think anybody called, like, with a prank call and said, this is Roy Hobbs, I'd really like to try out for one of your teams?
Hi, this is Pete Rose. I would like to manage one of your teams, sir.
This is Pete Rose. If Pete Rose wanted to manage, would that be allowed, or is this still under the umbrella of Major League Baseball? Would he be banned? Would he be prohibited from doing that?
Well, I guess we don't know for sure if MLB is going to be a part of this or not, right? That has not been – that's yet to be determined?
I think so. It sounded like he was optimistic that they would be working with him. And he said the Rangers provided them some data, some information on who's available, all of that stuff. So Pete probably doesn't have a great chance of doing that. Can you imagine? That might sell a few tickets.
If
Pete Rose is managing one of the teams.
You want to get attention, there you go. If you're looking to get some attention for what you're doing, that would be it. Is Lou Brown?
Would Pete Rose not do it? Like I felt like he would do it.
Oh, I believe he would. I believe he would. Is Lou Brown available? Or is he selling
Lou
tires?
Lou Brown would
be selling
a great
tires?
Man. Well, he's probably got a set of white walls on sale for somebody right now, but he might, if you call him, he might put you on hold for a minute, but you might still get him to come in there.
What's Charlie Sheen doing these days? What, do you want to suit up and play?
Now, you want to add some spice. Those guys don't even have to play. They just, if they're just around in uniform, that would be exciting. Like Rick Vaughn, first base coach, right?
Yeah. Tom Berenger. Let's get him out there. They need a catcher. Although Tom Berenger's getting
up. Jake Taylor.
He's getting up there in age. Jake Taylor, that's right. I think Michael.
See, he's
is
a coach now. The idea would be he's a coach now. He's not a player.
Okay.
Right? But if you just have those icons out there, it's like Field of Dreams, right? They were pulling all these players out of the cornfields from the 1920s or whatever, and they were themselves, right? But they didn't even name all of them in the movie, but they were like real players.
Could we get a
great touch.
Could we get Bob Uecker to join Jeff Hem in the booth?
Well, I guess Bob would be doing the Brewers games while this is going on, in theory, right? But maybe for one day, just have Harry Doyle.
I don't know. I don't honestly. I don't know if Bob's going to be doing their game. I mean, Bob is, gosh, how old is he? He's got to be pushing 90 years old. Mid 80s.
Yeah, Bob is going to. It's going to be hard to keep Bob from the park. If he's healthy,
yeah, but
he's going to want to
be in
there.
I'm talking about under these conditions. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I know. I know. That's a good. You know, he won't be the only older announcer, right, that would have to make tough decisions there, especially the travel. Like, maybe the home games, maybe just do home.
It's still, I mean, I don't know.
Like, Mike Shannon for the Cardinals is still going. You know, he's been there for a long, long time. I'm trying to think of some older announcers. There's quite a few of them.
I think Michael is on hold and wants to give us a name. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on the naming. I like your guys' idea about the Bad News Bears or the Vols, but I wonder if there might be some trademark problems with those. So I wanted to weigh.
Oh, I'm sure.
I wanted to say.
I'm sure there are.
I wanted to. Yeah. So I wanted to say maybe the Knights, going back to the old Nashville Knights, or the Cats, going back to the Nashville Cats.
The Cats with a K?
Cats with a K?
Cats with a K, yeah. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say off the air.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Cats.
Okay. This is where we'd have to call Chase McCabe and the crew that put together our promotion where we designed uniforms. And you would design a Nashville Cats baseball uniform. That could work. That's a good idea.
I would love to see that.
Who's got the rights to the old Cats logo?
Bob
Let's call
Flynn.
Pat Sperduto.
Bob Flynn or Pat Sperduto?
Bob Flynn. Yeah.
one of those guys.
There you go. Now
that
now
would
talking.
Be cool.
Cats
that
versus sounds. Be... That's not a bad idea.
That would be great. Well, why do you need to design a new logo? Why wouldn't you just use the old one?
Oh, you absolutely would use the old one for
well,
sure.
Well, then what do we need to get? Why do we need to get anybody to draw up something? I mean, it's there.
Well, you just have to turn it from a football uniform to a baseball uniform. So you got to have a little design. You got to make it look like a base. You use the same logo, but like, which
and
way do you want to go? Do you want to have, you know, cursive lettering across the pinstripes, or do you want to have plain white uniforms with blue hats? You know, how would you do it?
So if you remember the logo, so what is out at First Horizon Park? What is the scoreboard, right? What do we all know, right? If you know anything about Nashville baseball, what do you know about what's out there?
The guitar.
A guitar, right. Well, what was the cat holding in their logo?
A guitar. Well,
a
Nashville now cat is a musician, so it works perfectly.
I know, and he's flipping up a football, so we switch that. We replace that with a baseball. It's same cat with the guitar. Flipping up a baseball. I love it.
It's a perfect logo.
I absolutely
it.
Love it.
Michael, you've got – it's just like Van Natta told us earlier, the idea for the whole LeBron James debacle came from a caller in Columbus, Ohio.
In Columbus, Ohio. How about that?
So Michael has got the idea. The Cats, that's a great idea.
I'll tell
different
you what.
Colors. You just have to have a nice, you know, good, sharply designed baseball uniform. Would you want pinstripes, or would you want, like, the Red Sox have, like, the stripes going down the middle by the buttons? How would you, or just a plain white jersey? Would you go baby blue?
I think you go the baby blue with a little bit of red in there. Yeah. Because they had a little bit of red. Baby blue. The cat was, an orange or a yellow? I don't remember what exact color. I like that. I actually really like that. By the way, when you've heard Pat Sperduto on our show over the years, just to let you know how good of a coach he was their head coach. The first stint of the Nashville Cats, which was the 97 season, this was his record. 10-4, 9-5, 8-6, 9-5, 10-4. Not bad,
teams.
Huh? Not bad. That was and then they went away. That was the first five seasons under Pat Sperduto. 10-4, 9-5, 8-6, 9-5, 10-4. And that last season, that 10-4 season, they lost in the Arena Bowl. I'm gonna reach out to Pat. You reach out to Bob Flynn. Let's see if we can get that Cats logo. See if it's out there for them for the Sounds to grab a hold of. And I think that's a no-brainer. I freaking love it.
Let's get it done. Let's
rather
get it done.
Than the cat throwing up a football, he's throwing up a baseball, and that's a beautiful logo. And you've got the guitar implemented. That's beautiful. It's fantastic. All right, we'll come back. Elliot Friedman. Is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Some Foreigner bringing us back from the break. Hey, if you're looking for a way to show your support for teachers before school starts again, well, you can sign up to sponsor teacher supply bags through Together for Teachers, a citywide campaign from the nonprofit Pencil to support Metro Public School teachers throughout June and July. So this month, which there's not much left, less than a week, in July, you can help celebrate more than 6,500 teachers in our local community. Learn more about Together for Teachers campaign at thegamenashville.com. That is our website. Pencil is Nashville's premier nonprofit, linking resources to Metro Nashville schools to help students achieve success in school and in life. Nate has come up with the suggestion, what about Bobby Cox? He can manage one of the teams. Who knows? Maybe Adam Neuse was talking about Bobby Cox.
He said there were a couple of former major league managers that have inquired with interest of playing or of managing these teams.
Huh.
So that could be a lot of people. There could be some pretty
just
cool names in there.
I don't know if you've seen, Willie, but I'm going to change the subject here for a minute, that NASCAR has released a photo.
A photo, yeah.
Yeah. And this is what was in the Bubba Wallace garage stall at Talladega Super Speedway. And it's the pull rope. And so now you can kind of see where certain conclusions were drawn, right? I mean,
no
Bubba
question.
Wallace has been very adamant that it looks like a noose. Well, if you look at this picture, you definitely could see where somebody would come to that conclusion. Pretty easy to see.
Well, it is a noose. There's no way around that. I guess what they were trying to accomplish today, I guess they made some pretty strong statements. Marquise, you may have seen it a little more clearly than we did, but you know, they were trying to make some strong statements that, listen, if you're trying to pick up this storyline of somehow Bubba Wallace had something to do with this, then stop thinking about that right now. I guess the question, you know, the thing that had shocked everybody was apparently that noose had been up since the fall, which does make you wonder. It's there in plain sight. How did nobody see that before? Right? Nobody said anything about that back in the fall if it was hanging there like that? That's the weird question that a lot of people are wondering.
You'd have to admit that we're in a little bit different time than last October.
But
in our country. A little bit more awareness of things around us and what's going on.
Regardless of who was in the garage area, if you just walked by that, wouldn't you stop and say, why is that tied like that? And there were no other ones like that. It's not like every one in every stall was tied like that so that there was some practical reason. It had to make you wonder anyway.
Willie, well, there was Confederate flags flying at Talladega last October. I mean, a lot's changed. I mean, one of the things I was going to say is the Dixie Chicks, it's come out, they're dropping Dixie from their name. So I don't know if they're just going to be the Chicks.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I don't know. So
yeah, just the Chicks.
So, okay, what's changed? I mean, you see what I mean? The things, a lot's changed. That the answer is a lot of things have changed. So, I mean, I get it. It's a little bit easier to sit here today and look at this picture that NASCAR has released that has now gone viral and go, oh, yeah, okay. But our mindset is different right now. Things are different. Our climate is different. Things, the way we're thinking in this country right now, is different than last October.
But even if I agree with you 100%, but I still would have thought that somebody would have seen that and said, why is that there? You know, is there any reason that that's there? Who did that? You know, I'm just curious about that. It's such a weird, odd feeling that you have out of all that.
Remember, Bubba Wallace was not in that stall.
No.
In October either.
Yeah. So it just makes you wonder how it got there. Who did
Well,
it?
I would say Why? This. There's a lot of stuff going on, and in October, it was business as usual. So there's people, there's cars, there's people everywhere, okay? So there's constant movement. It would be easy, just because I've been around in those areas, and under normal conditions, it would be easy. You're not sitting around just, you know, sitting here just observing, just looking around, going, huh, son of a gun, look at that rope. You're just, it's the hustle and bustle. And so I'm not making excuses for it. I'm certainly not doing that. I'm just saying I could see where it wouldn't even cross anybody's mind. One of what I've already stated, we're in a different place. People were not different mindset. Not that that's acceptable. It's not. But I'm just saying there was a difference between today and October. And the other part is, you know, there's Wood Brothers team in there. They may not have even looked at that because they got their own set of problems. They're trying to just compete in this
race.
But
don't you find that a little hard to believe that nobody saw that? Nobody
noticed
that?
I'm trying to think in October. I'm not trying to think today. Today my answer is yes. But I'm trying to go back 6 months or longer than that.
Surely that would have been something that somebody noticed. Now, you may not have said anything. You know, you might have seen it and not really put thought into it for all these reasons you're saying, but somebody would have noticed that. I'm not even making an accusation or anything. I'm just wondering. That is an odd thing that nobody would have said. Why is that there? Who put that there?
What do you got? What did you just send us, Marquise?
So I guess NASCAR says that they did a sweep on all the garage stalls. There's over 1,000, over like 1,600.
So on their circuit.
Yeah. So okay. There's 1,600, a little over, and only 11 had pull down ropes with a knot, and only Wallace's stall was a noose. NASCAR also confirms the noose wasn't tied like that in the garage stall at the start of October 2019, that race weekend. So that had happened during the weekend.
There was a picture of the noose from October of 2019, correct? That was the evidence they used, right? Somebody verified that it was there in October, right?
Right.
So somebody saw it in October and took a picture of it.
Interesting.
Or I guess it was footage, you know, with it in the backdrop. I think I saw a clip of that. But I guess nobody thought enough to say, you know, we probably ought to take that down. That doesn't. What purpose is that serving?
Look, it's a more than fair question. I don't know how to answer it. I don't know why this wasn't a story in October. I don't know why it wasn't addressed. I guess they would have to tell us if it was something was said privately. I mean, they would have come out and said, I guess. I mean, there's no reason to not say that. They had somebody had brought it up privately, but I don't know. So 11 have pulled down tie ropes with the knot, and the only that one that looked like that. Okay, so how did they not, you know, as thorough of a job as they did, how did they not, you would think they had footage in there, how did they not, were they not able to find who took the time then to turn it into the picture that we see today? Because it's clearly different than the ones that have surfaced that have been out there in last October. True?
Yeah. Looks like that to me.
Right. Because I've seen I don't know if it's before and after. I guess it's before being October of last year and after being the one they released today. It's clearly different. Right? Somebody had to take the time to do that. So how did they not... With all the cameras and everything around there, how did they not see? And oh, by the way, you do wonder, whoever is responsible for this, carrying that around, knowing if it ever gets out, what that feeling must be like, you're done. You're done. Somebody knows, right? That's the thing. Somebody knows. Although you, because they are saying from that tweet, you're saying, Marquise, that they know that it changed over the course of the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it says. That's what it says on the tweet.
In other words, what I'm getting at is there's a time lapse of what, 8 months?
Yeah.
So they're not saying it happened, you know, it could have happened in that 8 month span between October and now. They're saying it happened while there was activity at this latest race. Is that what I'm reading into that?
Yes. And there's also, so someone tweeted the picture from October 14th, and there's a tweet from a NASCAR reporter that says that date is the Monday of the race weekend in 2019. Race was suspended because of rain on that Monday. So I just don't know how accurate that picture is from 2019.
All right. Well, here's another question that would come up, right? And I don't know if we'll ever know the answer. But, okay, it was hanging there in October of 2019. At some point, that's when it was constructed, right? Because they're saying it wasn't there at the beginning of the weekend. It was by the end of the weekend, right? So everybody leaves, the race is over, everybody's gone from Talladega, and it's still hanging there, right? That's the story, right?
You're talking about from the October race.
From the October race, everybody leaves Talladega, right? And there's a noose hanging from that garage, right?
A smaller one, a smaller version. Those pictures look different. Well, do they not?
There needs to be more explanation then.
Right. That's what I'm giving.
I'm going with the story that they gave yesterday with it was there in October. So when they made the garage assignments and everybody's getting there for this race this past weekend, nobody saw the noose and said, wait, what's going on here with this noose? We need to get this off of there. Like, when they prepared and had everybody coming in, nobody looked at that? Nobody saw that?
Well, I'll tell you what.
There's just a lot of odd questions in this. This is turned into a very bizarre story.
I wonder how they will cover it this weekend in Pocono.
Yeah.
You know, they got two big broadcasts, Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. Two cup races. I wonder how they're gonna cover it on Fox. I guess we'll have to watch and find out, right?
Exactly.
We will come
and
back.
And you know what? I think they'll probably have a pretty good audience.
I think they will. I would agree with that. We'll come back and start the final hour with Elliot Friedman, our weekly chat with him from Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. We do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.